I learned something. Went down and done this D now in Dalton a couple weeks back, and I learned. I'm not a big psalm guy. I love the psalms, but I'm not musically inclined. I get spoke to through music sometimes, but not as much as some. So I'm more of a word man. I'm more of a preacher. Like when I hear a good message, I hear it, and all of a sudden my mind just starts running off in veins and lines, and I can hear one anointed person speak for 5 minutes, and my mind will start running like a press. Psalm 103, we learned some things about God in it that we're going to apply today. And the message is about forgiveness. Man, I knew today, I just knew that it was on time. I said, I knew God was on time. I kept thinking, man, this message, because I was like, man, it's such a good message, and it requires a little deepness to it, a little depth to it. Even this is the first time I'm going through it, there's going to be a little depth to it. And I was thinking, man, maybe this is a Sunday message. Maybe this is not a Wednesday message right off. Maybe I need to study it some more. And then God just kept saying, it's time, it's time, it's time. So we're going to study it. Let's look at Psalm 103, starting in the first verse. Psalm 103 is becoming my favorite psalm really quickly. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Just take your little pen, paper right there, and underline that, all of his benefits, and he's got many. And I stopped preaching right there. I'd start preaching, I'd stop reading and start preaching right there, and I've knocked myself out of huge blessings, because I look at everything through a work mentality, because I started working young, and I always learned, and I'm just going to be real with you, I always learned paycheck, 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 right? And then when, I've told y'all this before, and I talked to my dad when I first got my job. I first got a real job, you know, got out of the Marine Corps, got a job, worked for Georgia Pacific. And my dad said, how much do you make an hour? And I said, I make $11 an hour, $12 an hour. And he goes, do you have any benefits? And I'm like 26 years old. I'm like, what's that, you know? And don't look at me like I'm stupid. I was a dumb person. I am a dumb person. He said, do you have insurance? And I said, yeah, full coverage. They have my card. I don't know. Even when you're 26, you don't even realize you have insurance because you don't ever go to the doctor, most of the time. He said, you got anything else? I said, well, some retirement stuff. I don't even know what that's about. They're like, okay. I said, you got benefits. You really make it about $20. I'm like, okay, all right, great. That makes me feel better. Well, I see that in my check. No. Okay. Anyway, sorry. I have to give you that every time I read that. But I start thinking about, what are the benefits of Christ? But then all of a sudden I see these are the benefits of who God is. And if that's God, then God saved us. And if God saved us and God dwells in us, one part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit lives in us. See, we're always arguing. I might get sidetracked here for a minute. We're always arguing about losing your salvation or gaining your salvation or doing this or doing that. Let me tell you something. One of the hardest things I have to understand is with most people is this right here. If you get saved, now listen, this is not an argument. This is a fact. If and when you get saved, one part of the Godhead moves into your life, inside your body. Amen? You receive the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God. If you receive that, there's not a question of whether you got it or whether you get it or whether you're getting it or losing it. God's in you, and that Spirit in you is going to take your spirit to heaven. And if he's not in there, you're not saved. It says it best in Romans 8. If you are not spirit-led, you are spirit-dead. That's the problem. If you don't have somebody on the inside every once in a while saying something contrary to your sinful life, I would check up. Man, I'm telling you. I wanted to go. Let's just stay real quick. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with the loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy the mouth with good things, so that youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Jump down with me to verse 12 real quick. Watch this right here to verse 12. Let's do 11 and 12. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so is great the mercy towards them that fear him. You can't measure God's faith, His mercy towards you, if you have faith in Him. Watch this right here. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Listen, if you're sitting here on a Wednesday night or watching this on a Wednesday night and you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that's how God loves you. That is how God has forgiven you. Has forgiven you. Not going to, has. He's cast your sin as far as the east from the west. Your old sin, your current sin, and your future sin. Amen? Now you, listen, he said, well, what if I just go out and do something? What if I go out and sin? I'm going to tell you this, you're going to. And guess what? You're going to pay the penalty for that in your flesh. Here's the scripture. You'll reap what you sow. If you put seed in the ground, and everybody in here should know this, you don't get to decide on how much or how good or how bad that crop will be. Do you? I don't. I hope some of my stuff goes in the ground, I hope I don't want a bumper crop. Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a farming term that I've overheard over the years. That means I don't want one that just keeps on producing, right? We don't want that. We don't get to decide that. And sometimes our punishment is the repercussions, and God can't, He won't withdraw from that. I'm still paying for sins that I sinned back in my before I got saved. And you are too to some degree. Amen? Here's something. I love this. God, everybody go to Genesis chapter 44 before I stay over there too long. Genesis 44. Do you know a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with today in this government, in this world, in America that we're dealing with? We're all sitting there going, man, these people today, they're just, that this didn't all happen yesterday. We sowed into this. Amen? We put into this. Our sin has helped fund what's going on today. Because sometimes we like to blame, this generation is so bad. I always say, well, man, this generation ain't the only one that, you know, paid the deal. Amen? They're just in the middle of it. Amen? They might end up being better than us in their 30s. They might get tired of it by the time they're 20 and say, you know what, let's take a stand. It took some of us into our 30s or longer to take a stand. All right, we're going to live for God. Let's go to 43 verse 28. This one of them, if y'all know where we're at, we're with Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. Y'all know this story. For 13 years, this man's life took a nosedive. At 17 years old, this man, this young boy, was sold into slavery by his brothers. Most of them wanted to kill him. Most of them wanted to kill him. He was in a pit, and his brother's conversation was, let's just kill him. He had one brother who was like, let's not. If you had 11 brothers, you only had one, right? And you're in that pit, and you're sitting there going, man, I'm in a bad spot. But then they sell him into slavery, and his life, it's like nosedive, plateau, to a nosedive, to a plateau, to a nosedive. I mean, I'm telling you, this man has got a life that none of us would want. I mean, as soon as he gets somewhere in a foreign country and he thinks he's doing all right, Potiphar's wife makes a pass at him. God, y'all don't know, I wish I could preach this whole thing to you, but at 18 years old, and you're running the show at Potiphar's house. I wish we had some confessions in here. At 18, I was pretty arrogant. And I didn't make the best decisions. And if I had enough hurt behind me, okay, this will be said. If my brother, not brothers, if my brother had said, I'm selling you into slavery or killing you, I would probably have some resentment. Right? And if I got somewhere and I got a little money and a little power and a little prestige, I would be in trouble when Miss Potiphar come by. Hey, you're looking good, young man. The husband's off for the week, and you're in charge, and all the men have automatically disappeared from the house. I know we're so spiritual today in the church that we would have been, oh, I would have just went to another room and prayed. I would have done like Joseph. I would have just run right out of my shirt. Right? But he did. I love Joseph's amazing. This lady, it wasn't, hey, you want to do this? And he says no, and it's over. It's every single day. And some of y'all need to write this down. Your sin is like that. Yeah, you're strong today, but guess who's coming by tomorrow? You ever had a bad day? You ever had a day where you think, well, I deserve? Or have you ever had a day where you think? Man, this went on for 13. Then, after that, he got falsely accused and nosedive right into the prison system. And when he thought there was a bright spot, he got to use his gift and his talent again. And guess what? The baker and the cupbearer get in there, and he tells them their dream. And he's like, remember me, guys, when you get out of here. I mean, I'm the top dog in the prison. Top dog in prison, still prison. But he said, remember me, man. The baker, you ain't going to be remembering me, but cupbearer, you remember me. Right? Couple 2 years. Two more. Could you imagine if you thought that you were at the finish line and you had a guy? Write that down. You had a guy. I got the guy standing right next to Pharaoh. I got the guy. It's a hookup. God, which I'm preaching to myself. Yeah. But I got some, man, he's going to get me out of here. Man, that old cupbearer, he's going to feel so grateful that he got his job back. That he's just going to say, hey, man, you got to meet this guy. He is something with the dreams, man. But you know what? It wasn't time yet. It wasn't time. So 2 full years. It says full. I bet those years were full, all right. And they come down there because Pharaoh has a dream, right? 7 years of famine, 7 years of plenty, right? The old weak cows, the old strong cows, and the weak corn, or the strong wheat and the weak wheat. And guess what? He remembered, hey, you know what? There's a guy down at the jailhouse. I wonder if he's still down there. I bet it's been what? 2 years. Right? 2 years. And he sends him up there. And guess what? He goes up there and doesn't even bat an eye. When he gets his chance to come up out of this thing for God, he gives all the honor and glory and everything to God. He said, you're the interpreter of dreams. He said, I am nothing. God's everything. He's the one who interprets everything. Are y'all good? Do y'all see that? Okay. So guess what? The famine hits, it's rocking on everybody. You might want to write this down somewhere. When bad things happen in the world, it happens to Christians too. It rains on the just and the unjust. Amen? Sometimes we think we're going to get a pass. We do not get a pass. We just got a foundation. I'll preach right there. We don't get a pass, we get a foundation. We don't get a pass, we get promises. Man, somebody write some of those down and tell me one day what I said. Watch this right here, 43:28. His brothers get sent up there. Remember when this whole thing kicked off? Jared, do you remember how this whole thing kicked off? His brothers hated him because his daddy loved him a little bit more. I think it's more of a type and shadow of Christ. He put him in that non-workman's outfit, the coat of many colors, we called it. And guess what? It was a little bit longer in the sleeve and a little bit longer in the girdle. Because guess what? He wasn't ever going to be out in the field working. He was going to be managing. Whew. And he's the youngest brother. Ain't nothing like having your youngest brother manage you when you don't like him, right? But remember what got them together, remember? Hey, guys, come here, come here, come here. Oh, I love this stuff. Hey, guys, come bring it in. Come on, Gary. You're like, guys, I got to share something with you. Come bring it in. You're like, what does daddy's boy want? Hey, God, when I was sleeping, gave me this awesome dream. I was a big bundle of wheat. And you guys, you're little wheats. And you all, y'all bow down to me and like worship me. It's awesome. What do y'all think about that? I could kill this guy. Are you serious? And they go tell mom and dad, hey Jacob, this Joseph, this maniac you've raised, is out here telling us that we're all going to bow down. So mom and dad run out there and say, Joseph, what are you doing? Can't you already tell by body language? They hate you. Don't worry, Mom and Dad, I had another dream. I was dreaming, and it was like the solar system. I was kind of like the sun. And y'all all worship me, even you. And he's, even us? Yeah, even you. But guess what? In Genesis 44:28, what's this? He asked him a question. He said, see, he's in captivity. He's been for 13 years. He don't know anything. He said, how's Dad doing? He didn't ask him about that. He said, how's your father? It's his dad. God, I'm about to, whew, Holy Ghost right there. How's your dad? He's about to lose it. He's about to lose it. He does. He loses it. You'll see it in a minute, but he loses it. Because how's your dad? Did you hear it in his voice? How's your dad? All he wants to know is, how's my dad? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. Do you see that? Ain't that cool? There was no place for them to worship right there. There was no intro to that. They bowed. They just literally something brought them to their knees. That was God saying, I'll keep my promises. 13 years and I'll make it happen. Amen? Some of you, man, that is amazing. I love what Joseph does something cool. He said, y'all, he goes, I got to find another room. This guy goes in another room, shuts the door, and breaks. He breaks. And the brothers have no idea. They don't even know who this guy, they don't even know who he is. And they're talking about this stuff. And they're sitting there going, man, we're in trouble because we know what we did to our other brother. He understands everything that's coming out of their mouth. He hears their heart. He knows they're upset. He knows they're remorseful. Amen? But they don't know who he is. Sometimes that's how we are with God, especially when we don't know him, when we're not forgiven. We're talking and we don't realize God overhears us. Not what we say around our friends, not what we say in public. When we get in those places where we're stuck and we ain't got nowhere to look but up, when we say stuff like, God, I'm sorry for the mess that I'm in. I'm messed up, and it's all mine. It's all my fault. That's the problem with our world today, for the most part, is nobody takes ownership of anything anymore. There's nobody does anything wrong. Just blame the other guy or the other gal, right? But sin, that's the great thing about salvation. Salvation, you got to come to yourself and say, I'm messed up. Amen? But guess what? He does this thing in 48. I love 48. Go to 44. In chapter 44. Now, I'm getting every bit of this information from chapter 44. You go back and you read this stuff. But in 44, 44 and 45, 44, he jumps all over their, he is standing and jumping up and down on who they are in their forgiveness. He wants to, y'all might want to write this down, because I've never found anything else in the Bible that's anything like this, and I'm just going to run with it, because guess what? This is for real. Because sometimes we say we need to forgive like Jesus. We do. 70 times that we do, right? But sometimes we don't like to, because we've got some extenuating circumstances. You might want to write that down, extenuating some other things that happen that we don't know if we can trust them or not. But you know what Joseph did? Joseph put them in the test. Joseph jumped up and down on their heart and on who they were to see if he could forgive them or not. You might want to write that down. It's okay to put somebody to a heart test before you put the weight of your forgiveness in their life. And some of y'all are saying, I don't know if that's okay, Kevin. I don't know if that's okay. Yeah, it's okay, because guess what? It's in the scripture. It's okay because Joseph did it. Okay? It's okay, because he said, what he did is he said, you know, go get your youngest brother Benjamin. That's the whole, that was the test. Why? Because he knew if those brothers hadn't changed, they don't like Benjamin. If they hadn't changed, they'll sell him out in a second. If nothing's changed, they're just going to turn on him, and whatever happens to him, it's okay. They're not concerned with Benjamin, they're not concerned with Jacob, and they're not concerned with God. So he puts them to the test. He goes, I'm going to kill. He puts that cup in Benjamin's bag, and he sends them out, and then he sends some people after him, and they open that bag, and man, you know what? Judah was the first one, and Judah was one of the worst ones when he was in the pit. When Joseph was in the pit, Judah was one of the worst, and he was one of the first ones who spoke up. He comes to him and says, no. He said, you guys can go, but he's going to pay. He's going to become a prisoner. He's staying here. He's going to have to pay for this. Judah comes and says, no. take me, take us. Because if you do this to him, it will destroy him, but it will destroy my family, because my family, I put them up for ransom for Benjamin. And I told my dad to kill my boys if we didn't bring him back. Ain't that something? Things have changed, haven't they? Some things have changed. He's put some skin in the game himself. But then he said, take us. And he said, you know what? There's somebody else you're going to hurt. It's good. He said, there's somebody else you're going to hurt in this too. If you hurt Benjamin, you're going to kill our dad. It's good. That first son, that like to kill him. This will kill him. And we can't afford that. We love our dad. We were wrong. Amen? He got it. It got him. It got him to understand that, listen, if you've changed, you don't mind for somebody to put your forgiveness to the test. He was standing and jumping up and down on their forgiveness. That's what he did. He jumped up and down on it. You know what he did then? He revealed himself as Joseph. He revealed himself. And he wept so bitterly that the Egyptians said, there's something wrong with him. Like he's almost dying. But he had found that his brothers were remorseful and they could be trusted to forgive. So he was going to give them a full forgiveness. When your heart turns, when your mind turns, God will turn with you. Amen? He gave him a full forgiveness. Watch this. He embraced them. I got every bit of this from that chapter right there. Watch this right here. He embraced them. This is one of the greatest things you'll see. He embraces them, hugs them. And I mean, he is like, it reminds you of the prodigal son. He embraces them and crying over them and weeping on them and accepting them. He's not holding back anything. He's not saying, you know, well, 13 years and all that. You know, he just said, it's over. I'm in with you guys. You're my brothers. Watch this right here. He gave them purpose. He gave them purpose. He's like, listen, I want you to go home and I want you to get the Father and I want you to come back and I want you to live here. He gave them prosperity. He gave them food for the journey. He gave them a promise to come back and to live in Goshen. Listen, so you go and you take care and you go over there and you do this and I want you to take care of yourselves and I want you to take care of Dad and I want you to come back here. There's a prosperity there. There's a restoration. Listen, this is key right here. There's a restoration in his presence. I love what Joseph did. You know what Joseph did? He started seeing the bigger picture somewhere in this thing. And he said, there was a famine coming and God needed me. No, listen, I'm helping y'all right here and you don't even know it. What he was telling him is, he said, this wasn't up to you. This ain't on all you. Yes, you sold me into slavery. Yes, you considered on killing me. But God had a bigger plan. I couldn't save you. I couldn't save your posterity. I couldn't save our father. I couldn't save Egypt. I couldn't save anybody if I was still with you guys. You had to do what you were doing, and I had to be cast out to be in the place where God wanted me. Man, I hope you are getting this, because sometimes we can get in that with Jesus and we can say, I've sinned so much. I've been so bad. I don't know why God. Pray, man, write this down. I don't know why God would forgive somebody like me. I've done too much. What your sin was is what Jesus was held by the cross by. Amen? That is the sole purpose of him coming. So guess what? That was the part. We all needed a Savior. You know what? There's not one person on this face of this planet who can say, my sin's not so bad that I didn't need Jesus. One sin sends you to hell. A multitude sins sends you to hell. That's who we are. Amen? And I love, I mean, he gives them a total forgiveness by saying, look, I am where I am because God wanted me here. That's forgiveness in the presence. That's when you first find out who God is. That's when you come to church. Amen? We've been there, right? And you get moved by something, or you find out you've done something, or he exposes something in you, and you come to God, and God says, I'm already working on it. I'm already forgiven. I'm already healing. And that's good in the presence, right? It is. It's good in the presence. Watch this right here, though. He kisses them, weeping on them. the healing love is going on. The reception, the celebration of his brothers. Man, they had a throw-down meal. A celebration of who they are. Are you starting to see that ringing of the prodigal son and the ringing of the older son? He sung it in that song. There's a celebration going on. The Egyptians are sitting on the outside going, what in the world is going on here? Amen. Who are these guys, right? But their celebration, he goes, man, it said that they were like heralded. The brothers were Joseph's brothers, and they were heralded because they had came, and they were celebrating. They were eating this dinner with him, and he was weeping, just pouring himself out, and the Egyptians were just blown away. That kind of reminds me of the angels. They're just like, what is going on? This is crazy. This is something to look into, right? And that celebration is because these brothers had come home. That, man, 13 years ago, they were thinking, man, this is the worst person. I want to get rid of this person. I hate this person. That now, he's their salvation. He's their reason for living. Amen? That's kind of our tie to Christ, right? We hated him while we were yet enemies. Christ died for us, the ungodly. Yet then we fell in love with the one who loves our soul, I hope. This last one, watch this right here. Then he gave them transport. He gave them wagons. Go get everything. Come on. I can preach on that for days. Hey, load them up. Bring them on home. Bring daddy up here. Bring all this stuff. Don't lose anything. I'm telling you, God's in abundance. He's like, go. And I'm not trying to get you into this prosperity stuff. I don't care about all that. I'm just telling you, when God forgives you, there's a huge bunch of stuff going on. Right? I'm about to get in a little bit deeper right here. Watch this. And blessing upon blessing upon blessing. He looked at Benjamin and gave him 5 changes of clothes. What? I mean, 5 changes of clothes for just a trip down there to pick his dad up and come back. I mean, he blessed his socks off. You know why? That was his closest brother. Amen? That was from his mother. Amen? He wanted to bless him, right? He just blessed him. Hey, listen. God started speaking to me right into this. Have you ever thought about how far you've came since you've been saved? Don't think about this. I was thinking about when I was writing all these down. Sometimes we forget about how far we are, right? We get saved and God starts working on our lives and we forget that some of us were on drugs and some of us were drinking and some of us were liars and some were adulterers and some were just misfits. Some of us were just good old people and we couldn't see why we needed Jesus. Are you, so much time and things have happened, and now when you look, you know, you fail or you fall short and the devil just wears you out. Does he ever wear you out? The devil wears me out. Sometimes he's like, you're no good. I can't believe God uses you. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe he even thinks about it. I mean, you're so terrible. You're so bad. And then I just kind of think about it. And I'm like, yeah, but where was I in August 28th of 04? Where was I then? Amen. I didn't like anything about God. I didn't like church. Man, church was the forced march. I'm serious. Somebody said, let's go to church. I'm like, oh, man. There's 2 hours of, I ain't never getting back. Right? The messages are going to be about me. The songs are going to be about him. Everybody's, it's just, I don't like it. Right? But then, You get saved and you start loving the things you used to hate. And then, guess what? When you start living for Christ, I mean, Christ is in you, then you're no longer an imposter. The only impostering you're going to do after that is if you're living in your sin. Man, if I do something wrong, it's so weird. Nobody else is listening to me tonight, Josh. Nobody in here is listening. Man, watch this right here. I was thinking about this. Man, back in about, you know, early 90s, mid 90s, I could tell you about wherever club in Chattanooga was. Don't look at me silly. I could. I could tell you whatever club, what, how late they were open, what to do, where to go, who to be with. We would leave Polk County at 12 o'clock at night and be down there by 1 o'clock, was down there until 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen. I knew every spot to go to. Amen. Y'all are looking at me like I got 2 heads. Okay. You know what? It's 2021. I couldn't take you to 1 club. Nowhere. I'd be the most boring. Let's all go out and have a good time. I'd be like driving around. All right, let me see how crazy this is. I drove by one of the places where it used to be a big club. It's a mattress store. It made sense. I looked at it. Makes sense. Terrible place. They've done some good with it. But there it is. I don't know where any of that stuff is. I couldn't, but I can take you to a revival on any night of the week you want to go. I can take you to some of the best preachers, some of the best churches, some of the best singers. I could take you somewhere, bless your socks off. I could say, hey, well, I know somebody preaching. I know somewhere there's preaching on Monday. I know somewhere there was preaching on Tuesday. I know where there's somewhere preaching on Wednesday. I know where a CR meeting is. I know where somebody's worshiping. Get in the car. Let's go. I can take you to a place where God is throwing down. But I can't take you to a club. I can't take you to a bar. I can't tell you where people are going to be hanging out at night. Because by about 10 o'clock, I'm going to bed. And if I don't go to bed by 10 o'clock, I'm going to be kind of grumpy. Amen? Used to. Nothing was getting started at 12 o'clock. It's like it's only 12. Why do I live in a town that shuts down at 12? Right? Man, I could. That's a, you look back in the rearview mirror of your life, and you go, "I'm a totally different person." We forget how good God's been to us. We're blessed beyond measure, and sometimes we forget. And then I tripped up on this great, this amazing verse. Go to verse 45 or chapter 45. Watch this right here. In verse 24, this is the sweetest verse. Now, remember when I said he gave them restoration in the presence. He gave them forgiveness and restoration in the presence. Joseph does something right here that is so sweet and so powerful that it like to knock me down when I read it. It doesn't, it reads different in the King James, but I want y'all, I'll explain it. In verse 24, he says, so he sent his brethren away. And they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. God, I got this so good. You know what he just told them? He said, on the way home, don't get into a fight and an argument and have a big falling out with each other. Don't get into a big quarrel with each other on the way home and have a falling out. Ain't that... Just let that just seep in. Just let it sink into your head and your brain. Let it seep down into your heart. He was saying, you're forgiven. Don't forget it. You're forgiven. You be forgived. You be forgiven. You got all the stuff from me. You heard what I said about it. You've seen what I've done for you. But when you get home, because you know what happened. You get about a mile outside of town. You're heading back. Somebody's going to go, you shouldn't have thrown him in that pit. It's really your fault. Well, you didn't stop me. You know, you didn't stop me. Well, I tried to stop you, but when I left and came back, y'all had already threw it. Y'all had already threw him in and sold him into slavery. I thought you'd killed him. It's your fault. No, it's yours. You know, and I can't believe it. I don't, because then all of a sudden you start. See, I wrote this down. Hurting people hurt people. So that they would begin to hurt each other because the hurt they're feeling on the inside, and they couldn't imagine that Joseph could really forgive them. They can when they're in the church. They can when they're in the music. They can when they're on the altar. They can when they're being blessed. They can when they can see his face. But when you get to walking, when you're walking away from church, when you're at home, when you're down the road a little bit, you start saying, man, I should have done this, or I should have done that. I wish I'd have been a better Christian. I wish I'd have prayed more. I wish I'd got started earlier. I wish. But Joseph done it before they left. Don't get to fighting on the way home, guys. It's okay. Don't hurt each other. It was good. It was God. Man, I bet a couple of times one of them wanted to say something like, man, I wish we'd have done better. But somebody said, you know, he told us not to talk about it. He told us not to get in a quarrel, and he told us not to fall out with each other. God, I hope y'all get this. I hope it's as big a deal as it is to me. There's a level. We're all forgiven. We're all forgiven. Man, there's some people in this room, we've done some really bad stuff. There's some people in this room, you've done bad stuff too, different bad stuff. You're forgiven. Walk in it. Don't hurt each other. Don't hurt yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't beat up everybody else. Just walk in your forgiveness. You're guilty. Yeah, you're guilty. I'm guilty. But man, God's done the restoring. And when it's really weighing down on you, really pressing down on you, start looking. Just look around and just look at the things that God has put in your life. Just look at the things that He's put in your life. The greatest, and I'm going to close right here. One of the greatest blessings I ever had when Peyton was about 10 years old. He was about 10 years old. He'd been alive 10 years. Maybe a little bit older. We were at the camp. And we were talking, there was a guy that rode to church with us who was at the camp. And he was riding back from church with us. And we started talking about drinking and drugging and running and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, in my day I did this, my dad did that. And Peyton was sitting in the back and I could see his eyes. He's like, looking at me. And I get up to the camp, I let him out, and Peyton gets in the front seat and he backs out and he's looking at me. And he just like goes, his daddy goes, did you drink? I said, I have, yes. He goes, did you do drugs? I said, I have. He goes, when? I said, before you were born. And I looked at him and I said, man, my son's been 10 years old, 10 years alive on this earth, and he don't know anything about his daddy, but he's a man of God. That's all he knows. All he knows is this guy preaches, reads his Bible, helps people. He's a little bit crazy at home. He's a nut, does all this stuff, but he never knew me as a liar, a thief, a drug addict, an alcoholic. And it was so, and he probably don't remember, but his face was so like baffled. And it was a heartbreak kinda, but it was a blessing at the same time because I was like, he just don't know me. But God's good like that because it's been 10 years. The 10 years is a pretty good run. I'm going to run it all the way out to the end. But if somebody's alive and they don't know you as anything like that, ain't that going to be good? Sometimes you got to look around at your blessings and go, yeah, I can beat myself up. And I can say I didn't do this. Or I can listen to what the last word. Don't quarrel with each other and don't have a falling out. And walk in your forgiveness. Walk in it. Because when you walk in your forgiveness, there's a lot of people in this world, they want some of that. Most of the people in this world, they want that. They want to walk in forgiveness. They want to get forgiveness too. Amen? I've heard some of the craziest stuff since I've been in church. So-and-so did this. I don't think I'm ever going to listen to them again. So-and-so done this. I'm never going to forgive them again. Let's not be that. Let's be, hey, I'm gonna jump up and down a little bit and see if it can handle some forgiveness. But once I understand that your heart's right and you need some forgiveness, we're gonna give it out. Because guess what? When God jumped up and down on our forgiveness and found out our heart was right, He opened it all up for us. Amen? Does that make sense to you? Let's all stand.